Hello and welcome to the Five Writers 5 Minutes podcast, in which five authors share their top writing tips. I'm Leanne Tanner.
I'm Zanny Louise.
I'm Deborah Abella.
I'm Tristan Banks.
And I'm Sarah Armstrong.
Today we're going to try something a little bit different. Three of us have got new books coming out this year, and two of us have books that are still really new. So we thought we'd devote an occasional session to talking about each one in a little bit more depth. So this episode is a deep dive into my new book, Fledgewitch, which is the sequel to Spellhound. Fledgewitch started out with a question. What happens if a kind-hearted girl in a loving family wakes up one morning with feathers sprouting from her elbows, which means she is destined to be spectacularly evil? So this book went through a whole lot of changes along the way, and this writing group played a big part in those changes. Ubers, I know that you have some questions. Zanny, what do you want to ask?
Well, I'm really curious because this is a second book, and in Spellhound, there are some amazing secrets that we don't want the reader to find out too early on. So how did you deal with that in the second book? Because you obviously don't want to spoil the first book for those people who haven't discovered Spellhound yet.
No, I really struggled with this. The secrets in Spellhound are so delicious. And I knew that if people read Fledgewitch first, the first book, Spellhound, would lose a lot of its impact. So I tried all these different ways of trying to make sure that they read Spellhound first. It was like at one point I had a full page notice near the front of the book saying, "Have you read Spellhound? If not, go back. Do not read any further." And at another point, I had a second narrator following along after the first narrator and blocking out all the spoilers. And in the end, I actually just had to accept that some people were going to read the books in the wrong order and that that was something I couldn't control. And I actually think this is something we all face, because even if it's not a second book, even if the first book isn't full of secrets, we can't control how people read our books. You know, everybody brings their own stuff to a book. So, you know, there comes a point where you just have to hand it over.
And, yeah, let go. Well, look, it works for me, so I'm good. Yeah. Deb, you had a question too, didn't you?
Yeah, because one thing I love about your writing, Lynn, and it was so, so delicious to work with you on this and seeing all those variations of, shall I do it this way? No, that's not going to work. You are so good at writing pacey, exciting fiction. It's so good. And it's very rare that our group even has like any kind of criticisms of it, because it's so beautiful. But there are big moments. And sometimes you have to stay with a big moment a little bit to give it its power. How do you decide when you're writing, especially a big moment, what is too little, too much?
Oh, yeah. Look, I think this is actually really hard to judge, especially in the first draft, you know. And I remember that I wrote a chapter that ends with Brim and Snort finding a dragon. And that is a huge moment in the story, you know, like it's a turning point. And then in the next chapter, my characters got caught up in something else that I thought was really important. And when I brought it to this group, you all said, "Whoa, no, wait, hang on, you haven't spent nearly enough time on it." So I'd undercut the impact of that moment. I think there are two ways to pick up whether you've got it right or not. You can either put the manuscript away for a few weeks or for a little while and come at it with new eyes, and then you can see it, you know, whether you've got it right or not. Or you can have a group of really brilliant friends who can tell you when you've got it wrong. So I'm going with the second box.
Yeah, option B.
Yeah. Tristan, how about you?
Well, I wondered about you, the way you sort of steer the reader through the story. Your narrators have sort of very specific ways that you steer the reader's attention, and very funny ways. And I just wondered, do you have a strong idea in your head of how you want the reader to experience the story, or do you just put it down on the page and then leave it up to chance how they're going to have their own personal experience of it?
I think I do a little bit of both, but I think mostly as I go, I'm fairly clear about how I want the reader to receive the story. And actually, the narrator was a real gift for this, because usually, you know, when you want to foreshadow something or you want to emphasize something and you have to find a way of working it into the story and being really subtle about it, but not so subtle that the reader won't pick it up. And that can be a really hard thing to do. But because I had the narrator, I could just say, "Oh, by the way, something really nasty is going to happen soon." And it made all that technical stuff just way, way easier.
Yeah, they're some of my favourite moments in yes. your writing, actually, when you do that, when you grab the reader and say, you wait for this to happen. I really love that.
Yeah, that was really fun to do. Yep. How about you, Sarah?
I want to ask you about when you're writing magic and your magical characters, like you just write the most incredible, quirky, fresh magic and fantasy. And I'm wondering, do you have to like give yourself permission just to let the wildest stuff bubble up? Or is there like a switch you flick, or is it just sort of super easy and just comes?
Look, I think I'm getting better at it. I think mostly it's about letting stuff bubble up. And I think that the more experience I have, the more I am able to do that. But I think I do it in a very specific way, and that is by wandering around the idea for a really long time before I get down to writing the story. I ask questions, I do exploratory writings, I collect random thoughts. And I'm actually really disorganized about the way I do this. Like, I know that some writers set out to explore a character and they come up with this whole coherent character profile. And sometimes I start doing that, but I get bored really quickly. So I veer off into something else, and I kind of, and that really disorganized way of working for me, that is how the good stuff comes up. You know, like if I try and do it in a really organized way, I can come up with really, really boring stories. So for me, being disorganized works really well.
It works for us as well.
We're happy.
Yeah, me too.
Brilliant. Such a brilliant book. Everyone needs to read this book. It's beautiful.
We love it.
Thanks, Zenny. Look, thanks for your questions, folks. If you're listening or watching, I hope you enjoyed this bit of a dive into the writing of Fledgewitch. It is in the shops now, so get yourselves a copy. And don't forget that we're on both podcast and YouTube, and we will see you next week for more 5 Writers, 5 Minutes.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.